gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies coming up. Ari Berman from The Nation next hour. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm wearing red.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, me too, because I'm so excited.
Sherman Meow t-shirt that somebody sent me. Sherman Meow. See, it's a pun.
Because it's a cat.
Jim, of course, the only one here married.
And the only
with
one
anybody.
With cats. No, Chris has cats. What am I saying?
I have two cats.
I have two dogs. I have handsome, romantic Valentine's, Max and Fred. Okay, you know how a good way to say happy Valentine's to me? Because
how?
I'm a single loser?
How?
Buy tickets to Chicago Sexy Liberal.
What?
A Valentine for me and your Valentine.
Are
wow.
There any left?
Sexy Liberal Road Trip. Do it. It's the only Midwest show this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's right.
And then there's going to be a West Coast show sometime later in the year. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Stay
do
tuned.
It.
See if you need.
It's the only way to say I love you
that's
today.
Yes.
Honey, here are Sexy Liberal Chicago tickets. Road trip from wherever. Do it. Get it. All right. Let's hear it for all the single losers. All
the single,
single
losers.
Losers. All the single losers. All the all single losers.
So
all the single losers.
Apparently I'm the only one who
deep
put
deep
a ring on it.
Yeah, you're the only one that put a ring on it. Chris and I neglected to do that, sadly.
Yeah.
All right.
I've done it twice.
Exactly.
Shows how dumb I am.
You really believe in love. All right. We were talking before the thing.
Yep.
It's just a stupid manufactured holiday.
It is.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid manufactured holiday that we fall for and feel bad.
It's also Frederick Douglass's manufactured birthday. He doesn't really know when his birthday was. He just says,
Valentine's Day.
That'll do.
Sure.
It's manufactured to make you feel bad. I'm like done with every newspaper magazine. Stop it with the Valentine's.
Just type Stephanie in the referral box.
There you go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That'll cheer me up. All right. And before we do a Right Wing World, because we're helpers, just because I don't have love doesn't mean I don't want my right wing friends to find it.
Finding true right wing love is a challenge. So that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
That's brilliant.
Rocky Mountain Mike, we love you.
He sounds like the guy, Dr. Neil Patrick Harris or whatever his name is.
No, it's not Neil Patrick Harris.
No, it is not.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. No,
what?
It's not. No.
Neil Armstrong. No.
You know who loves me?
Who?
Who loves me? If only if I book him every week.
No.
That's love.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Hello, Carl Frisch.
Happy Valentine's Day. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to destroy the institution of marriage when you're not in a relationship?
Yeah, I know, right?
We're trying. We're trying over here. All right. So, Carl Frisch, the Marco Rubio stuff, what can we... It's just the comedy gift that keeps on giving, right?
Well, I mean, it certainly gives something, although, you know, prop humor is not lending itself very well to people who only get to communicate you over the phone. So, you know. I thought, should I get some Poland Spring? Should I try and garble some water in my mouth when I'm trying to talk? None of that would have played.
No.
You, actually, of all the, because everybody has a favorite tweet about it, you have two of my favorites. One, 99 bottles of water on a set, 99 bottles of water, take one down, ruin your career, 98 bottles of water. And also, Rubio, ours is a party of small ideas, small minds, and even smaller water bottles.
That was teeny tiny.
He was a little teeny man with a little
That's
teeny water
he
bottle.
That's why didn't reach it, by the way, is because it was so small. You know, I got accused of creating a fake tweet from Bobby Jindal that night, in which I said, or Bobby Jindal said, rather, you thought I was bad. At least I came hydrated.
Yeah.
He did. What, it wasn't worthy of a. It was just a.
Glug. I liked more the panic look to camera, even
yeah.
though.
Well, I mean, we doing this? Time magazine called him the Republican savior. If that were true, the second he came in contact with that little bottle of water, it would have turned into a shot glass of wine.
Right. There you go. By the way, Chris, did we post that?
What?
I said he looked like that frightened squirrel
yes.
in the picture. Everybody.
We posted two versions of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looks like that squirrel that pops into every shot that looks startled to be on camera.
But what's really lost in all of this, all these discussions about the water bottle, is just how off message he is. I mean, if this is supposed to be GOP 4.0 or 6.9 or whatever
right.
it is that they're trying to remodel themselves to this day, there was not a single element of new in Marco Rubio's speech.
Did you see last night everybody played the clips of Romney side by side Rubio? It's the exact same thing. I mean, they literally almost said word for word the same policy ideas.
Right. Well, and you know what that comes down to is if Rubio wants to run in 2016, he can't be new. He has to run to the Republican base. And that base is just as crazy, old, white, and xenophobic as it ever was.
I was flashing back to how Drinky McDrinkerson Paul Ryan was when he was getting his ass kicked by Joe Biden. And I thought that's what it exposed is how young and experienced
yeah.
he is. I thought, can you even imagine him debating Hillary? Oh, my God.
There's also the time when stuff happened.
God.
And then I...
Right, right. Yeah, he also, a lot of resemblance to Winona Ryder when she was caught on the video surveillance camera.
Yeah.
A little startled fawn.
Ooh.
Huh?
I mean, he was
slow, Loris.
He looked like he, you know, his mouth was drier than the Sierra Desert, the High Sierras. He grabbed the water. There was not anything good in the performance. There was not anything good in the message.
No, exactly. By the way, I missed this. You said lots of gun nuts tweeting threats against the president tonight. That's lovely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was a young guy who works for David Schuster, I believe, who was retweeting, to bring to everybody's attention I can't even count how many there were, people just threatening the president, saying, you know, if you're going to take my gun, I'll give you my gun and you
Ooh.
Won't like it, that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
Nice. The Secret Service was notified via Twitter. I don't know if they're reading their retweets or whatnot, but
yeah.
They know where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the truly sick part, and it's the Fox News folks that stoke these people, that the president's coming to take their guns.
No one wants to take your guns away until you threaten the president.
Yes, exactly.
It's a quick way to get it done, but
yeah.
They're all afraid of the government having some big list of gun owners that they have to register,
yeah.
that somebody's going to take their guns. You want to know who has a really big list of gun owners? Several million, in fact, the NRA.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a nickel a name, they'll sell them to you.
You think they'd like to share. All right, well, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's new, shall we? Kate Obeshane?
Yes.
On the O'Reilly Show.
Marco Rubio scares the left more than just about anybody out there other than maybe Ted Cruz. And so instead of talking about that really intense moment when Rubio was able to identify with the American people, say, look, I don't live next to millionaires. I live in the same working class neighborhood I grew up in.
Right.
I just paid off over $100,000 in student loans a few months ago. That is the last thing that the leftists and the mainstream media want the American people to be talking about. So they pick out something stupid like a sip of water.
Speaking of stupid, look in the mirror. God.
Yeah, first of all, isn't his house worth almost $700,000 and he's trying to sell it to get out of that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and let me be clear about one thing. It's not the left that is afraid of more brown people coming to this country.
Right.
Okay. If anything, it's the left that wants more brown people to be accepted and integrated into our society, regardless of their political affiliation. So we're actually fighting to allow more Marco Rubios and to allow more.
We're trying to allow more brown people that are really bad speakers, like Marco Rubio and Bobby Jindal.
And
we're all for that.
Very inconsistent message. Rubio was trying to slam entitlements while at the same time praising Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
It's like, what?
Yeah, that was a little...
Oh, it's different when my parents...
Yeah, that was a little whiplashy, wasn't it, Carl?
Well, it was like Paul Ryan talking about Medicare and his mom. It's like, or the fact that he, you know, got through college with Social Security benefits that he didn't end up, you know, using. So, I mean, are we surprised that there's hypocrisy here? No.
To find there's gambling in this establishment.
She's right, though. We are a scared of Rubio, especially
so
now. Yes, please don't run him.
And for people that on the right that don't understand irony, that means, yes, please do run him.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. All right. O'Reilly.
Do the Democrats think we're stupid?
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently they do. And they may be right.
Wow.
President Obama is an honest man in the sense that he has never denied that he wants to create a huge government colossus and spend trillions of dollars on entitlements. Yet American voters reelected him despite all the warnings about fiscal irresponsibility. Mm-hmm. So now the country is invested in Mr. Obama for another term. Let the tax money flow.
Okay.
He's never
Well, he used the word colossus several times in the speech, as
well,
you recall.
You know, to him that's an SAT word.
Right.
All right. Gretchen Carlson, Stuart Varney.
He also wants to increase minimum wage, and of course that would be great for people who are working at those jobs, but possibly bad for small businesses who have to pay higher wages.
Now look down the line for a second. Are we going to get real growth in this economy and a whole lot of new jobs created by this increase in government spending paid for by higher taxes?
Yes. According to most studies, yes.
Because
yes.
they will have money to spend.
Yes.
And
in the
when
economy.
You increase the amount of money that hourly wage earners are making, they put that money into the economy.
Yes.
When
right.
you increase the amount of money that extremely wealthy people are hoarding on Wall Street or elsewhere, you don't do anything.
Right.
Yep, there you go. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue Right-Wing World, 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The station where the handbasket to hell leaves from. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the. It turns out it won't work for anybody. This love machine. 22 minutes after the hour.
Are we going to wallow?
I'll call my own ambulance. Nobody, don't touch me.
Are we going to wallow in your misery all
morning?
Nobody
touch me. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12 the phone number. Carl Frisch in the sidecar to continue Right Wing World. Mark Levin. Yeah. What bigger Valentine could I get? There he is.
You know, I would say to the president, why do you keep lying? Why do you keep lying to the American people? A Castro-like speech last night, albeit in English. Lie after lie after lie. I'll tell you why you keep lying, because your record stinks. 23 million people are unemployed. Real unemployment's almost 15%. You didn't say any of this in your long speech last night. The economy actually shrank. Nearly 25 cents of every dollar produced in our economy is taken by the federal government. He didn't say any of this. He didn't say any of this because it's embarrassing. It's a disaster.
Right. That's why he won re-election in the landslide.
Yeah.
Because it's such
a disaster.
You cannot
bring that up every single time, Jim, because they just refuse to accept it.
Historically low tax rates, historically high corporate profits.
Low, high. What's the difference?
Yes, all right. Unemployment down. All right, whatever.
Up, down, whatever.
You know, but if you talk through the very top of your nasal passage, the world has a completely different view.
That's
sure.
true. When you're sarcastic, like Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Brian Kilmeade and Martha McCollum. Oh, this is on the Brian Kilmeade's radio show.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, that 102-year-old woman should not be online.
Well, I agree with you, but I mean, how
Why
long
not?
Was she online?
What's the big deal? She was happy. She waited online.
She
voted. She was happy that she was there to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such a
I mean, they
nice
held
issue.
Her up as
deal.
A victim.
Was
she a victim of?
Stay on
Ashes on the bottom of her feet?
She what on the bottom of her feet?
Lashes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a
slavery joke.
102, whatever.
Cool.
She was happy to wait in line for 7 hours.
Yes.
Yeah,
what's a big deal?
I think
wait in line for shoes.
Fox News personalities wait in line 6 hours before they're allowed to host their shows.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't see any Fox News personalities taking time off because they have long lines at their polling places.
Yeah.
In their lily white neighborhoods, they don't have long lines.
Well, and at the same time, making it difficult to vote early or by mail.
Exactly.
All right, and we end with Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Throughout history, dictators, for example, have never really been blamed for the bad things that happened in their countries. Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Castro, none of them were blamed by the rank-and-file citizenry. They were instead the leaders of the revolution. They were the great figures trying to change all the evil that was happening to everybody. Here's Obama.
So Hitler, Castro, Obama.
Obama, right.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if Russia's just never... You would think that he's been to Germany. I mean, it looks like he eats a lot of cheese. So in Germany, they, in fact, view Hitler with such disdain that all types of freedom of expression relating to Hitler and Nazis are banned. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they don't take it seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
The primary victims of Hitler were German, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, just FYI.
Really quick, I want everybody out there to know that, and this is true, you can Google it, Marco Rubio is a huge fan of hip-hop and rap music.
Yes.
Right.
So if you watch his speech again, knowing that, just think of him as MC Rubio, spitting the fat lies.
Yeah.
Then you'll have a completely different view of him going forward.
Was he doing the Dougie? That's what that was. He was doing the Dougie.
Exactly.
What you missed is underneath the frame of the camera, he was actually pouring a little of the water out for his homies in the Tea Party that lost in 2012.
Oh, yes. There you go. All right. That's what that was happening up in there.
He was passing the Courvoisier. That's what
exactly.
He was doing.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Love you. See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Bye. Yeah, I was, you know how bubblegum rappy I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I don't like the actual rap. You know, every now and again, my old lady stations are playing commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like K-Big and the Coast.
Yeah, sure.
When they're in commercial, then I go on down to the Kiss, where the things the kids are listening to in the rap.
Oh, no.
I did that the other day. No, that was...
No, Stephanie, Kiss doesn't play rap.
Well, this was rappy, whatever it was.
No, they don't, no.
And I was kind of like getting down.
You need to go up to Power 106 to get
no, this
to the
was
real
rap.
Stuff.
Trust me, it was rap. I don't know what it was, but I was like getting down to the beat. And then the subject matter was so depressing that I couldn't, I'm too happy clappy. It was like.
If you were getting down to the beat, it wasn't really rap.
No.
Kids getting raped by relatives and then to her best friend getting shot in a drive-by. And like every verse something worse happened. I was like, oh, no, no, no. And then I had to.
Are you sure you didn't mistake this for Dido or something?
I need the rapper's delight, and the worst thing that happens is the food's bad or something. The real life is not for me. That is very... I listened for a few verses, and then I was like, no, no, oh, no. What happened to her little friend? No!
You want the hip-hop, hippity-hop, and don't stop.
Yeah.
No, that's not...
this isn't
right.
Rap.
No.
Ring the bell, school's in, sucker. See, that kind of stuff.
But that was never rap.
I like the vanilla rap. I don't.
That was never rap.
I don't listen. I don't like.
And also,
I don't like bad news, even set to music.
You're also showing your age when you call it rap.
Of course I am.
Yeah. It's not rap.
White,
it's hip hop.
Single loser dinosaur.
Yes, you are.
What's your point? Boom shakalaka.
God.
Let's go to Ann in Buffalo. Hi, Ann. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi, I got two things for Marco Rubio.
Yes.
One, in between Spanish and the English, it suddenly dawned on him he's ruining any chance for any presidential election ever.
I think that was a look to camera. It was just like he knew how bad it was, right?
Well, and then two, and this is everybody's missing it. That was product placement. What are you, nuts?
I wonder how much Poland Spring is paying him.
Turn the label to the front.
Okay,
Lake Arrowhead's like, oh. Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
I gotta go now because I'm a poor person. Got to go to work.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Bye. Well, all right. You run along, poor person.
So, is Time Magazine going to pull its cover of
he's not
the savior of the Republican Party?
He should have been walking on water. Yeah. Walking up on a Poland Spring.
Welcome, one or two.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm living the life of a frickin' fairy tale princess here. Why would I care about Valentine's Day?
I guess I'll just,
You better be looking for a 24-hour florist, mister.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere you have. And happy friggin' Valentine's Day. Whatever. John in Tulsa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John. Welcome. Hello, John.
Stephanie?
Yes, sir.
I just saw Marsha Blackburn on Chuck Todd, and it just drives me up a wall when these guys talk to Republicans. The Republicans say their things, and then, of course, the interviewer doesn't turn around and say, oh, you're for saving Medicare. Oh, that means that you want employers to be forced by the government to collect money, send it to the government, and have them redistribute it to whoever it is they think they need to. Is that right?
Yeah, they don't ask the tough questions. I don't know what's happened to the Chuck Todd.
Well, Chuck Todd, my wife is convinced that he is trying to protect his salary. And if he were to annoy some Republicans, they might decide they want somebody else to be doing that job and fire him.
Yeah, he must get the same memo David Gregory gets about, not appearing too liberal by being a complete douche to all the liberals on the shows and being too easy on the Republicans. All right, I was going to say, Jim, guess what today is? The NRA's Wayne LaPierre is going to officially respond to the State of the Union today. He will deliver his group's official response at the annual convention of the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Turkey?
That's what I said. I assume the bird, not the liquor.
Country.
Turkey?
I assume the thing that you can kill, not the... I don't know. The NRA announced his speech will be carried live on the Sportsman Channel. Oh, well, I'll be sure to tune in.
There's a Sportsman Channel?
.com somewhere. All right. Yeah, Tommy in Columbus sent me this. He said, I don't really give a crap what he has to say. If you aren't willing to change after 20 babies and 6 teachers are cut down by an assault rifle that fires as fast as you can pull the trigger and sends out a deadly round at 3,200 feet per second and was designed in World War II to give a single soldier the firepower of at least 5 men, then you. All right,
yes.
Thank you.
Well,
right,
exactly.
To the point. Yes. And then there were some other expletives.
And then there was, the call we got yesterday. The guy wanted white ribbons distributed for the poor put upon gun owners.
Right.
Getting blamed for all
That's
this.
Who we really ought to have sympathy for.
They're the real victims of
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Who can't agree on that?
Okay. Because the right to own an arsenal because you're ashamed of your dinky.
Excuse me.
supersedes the right of little kids to be shot in the face.
They're just except they're jealous that they're not hung like that dog that won the Westminster show. Banana Joe is well hung.
That's why they call him Banana Joe.
Right? Hello. The banana came from somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. All right.
She's,
the NRA, by the way.
Wow. She's into dogs in ways we didn't suspect.
Yeah.
Listen, you get through Valentine's Day wherever you can. The NRA responded to the Connecticut Effect controversy.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that was caught on tape saying, oh, let's have to wait till this Connecticut Effect
blows over.
They responded by claiming no connection to the lobbyist who represents the NRA's Wisconsin chapter. NRA lobbyist Bob Welch, that was the lobbyist. He said the organization will wait for the Connecticut Effect to subside before resuming its push to weaken gun laws. The NRA is now attempting to disavow any association with Welch or the Wisconsin chapter.
Oh.
Apparently they're not allowed to play in the reindeer game.
Okay, then.
Except that they're big liars. Okay, Welch is a registered lobbyist for the Wisconsin NRA group. And because Senator Richard Blumenthal, among others, are asking for an apology.
Right.
They're obviously trying to distance themselves from that. But there is a connection. Just FYI, he is a registered NRA lobbyist.
That's right.
Okay. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell slammed President Obama's State of the Union speech as another retread of lip service and liberalism. That must have been tough for him to say, Jim. Mr. McConnell.
Another retread of lip service and liberalism. For a Democratic president entering his second term, it was simply unequal to the moment.
Okay. And one more.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Mitch McConnell yesterday. Here he is.
Last night, the president offered...
Oh.
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, so we're going one behind. Okay.
Last night's speech was pedestrian, liberal boilerplate that any Democratic lawmaker could have given at any time in recent memory.
Thank you. All right. Tanya in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I want to say a couple of things to you directly.
Okay. All right.
Okay, number one, don't be so down on yourself. You are about the prettiest thing I think I've ever seen.
Okay, thank you.
And I love the way you flip your hair.
In that Marlo Thomas kind of way?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That flip the hair thing and the purry thing that you do. I
okay.
love the way
thank you
purr. Oh, my God.
All right.
So okay. don't say anything bad about yourself.
Okay.
Other people only.
Okay. Oh.
Other people only.
Okay. All right. I'll
love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. Oh, that was magical. I'll go to self-esteem training directly after the show.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to Al in Buffalo. Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
You hear me?
Yes, Al.
Yeah, what does it say about the Republican Party after they blew the banks in 2008? What does it say about this party when they put Michelle Bachmann on the Intelligence Committee and a freshman senator with no experience doing the State of the Union? The Republican Party basically views our government as one big joke, and people should be outraged.
Yeah. Yeah.
People should be taken to the streets.
You know the good thing about the Marco Rubio thing is we got to see the old tape of Michelle Bachmann giving the State of the Union response to the wrong camera.
Yeah.
That was just hilarious. And she did the whole thing to it.
She did.
She didn't even self-correct. She just...
And nobody in
awesome.
The studio corrected her.
No, it was awesome.
Nobody was looking at a monitor saying...
And then you see they made the same mistake again with Rand Paul. He wasn't quite as off-center, but he wasn't looking at camera either.
God.
And there was somebody that was checking it beforehand. The Tea Party can't even get it together to have them look directly into a camera when giving it.
But his toupee was looking at the camera.
Right,
the
right.
So that
that was dead on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Love your show.
Thanks.
And I agree with your lady there. You are beautiful.
Oh, why, thank you. Everyone's been trying to make me feel better about Valentine's. Okay.
I got a question. You know, I was listening to the Fox misinformation program, just, you know, kind of hear what the crazies are saying. And they said something that Obama's the one that made this sequester that possibly can happen. He's the one that put it in. And I can't find anything on that. I wonder if you could answer that.
No, they all voted for it. They both sides agreed to it, the president and they all did it to try to, you know, as something that would, you know, would encourage both sides to come to a deal. But it's hilarious. And now, of course, the Republicans, as usual, will obstruct everything and then they'll blame the president. What's that?
I always thought it was the Republicans that did it, and
they voted for it.
Yeah, I mean they did vote for it. Who brought it up? You know,
they both did. Both sides said, "Let's do this to, you know, avert this happening in the future." But the Republicans are, as usual, acting like douches, and so, yeah. But how's that going? The Obamaquester hashtag thing.
Oh, it died.
No?
It died.
It did it?
Yeah.
Like most right wing social media efforts, it died a sad little death.
Little death because nobody paid attention. Sorry, what?
You just picture them say, that's catchy. That's like, I think they say things like that at their social media. At their social media meetings, and they all laugh.
Yeah.
They're like,
And then the hashtag just hangs there in space like a single light bulb, like a monolith.
Exactly. Alan in Gary, Indiana. Hi, Alan.
Yeah, hi there. I wanted to pick up with what your previous caller just said. Both sides voted for that bill, and the president signed it. But really, what's more important, where do we go from here? Because both sides have got to work together on this thing. Okay.
Well, the president said as much in the State of the Union, but, you know, the problem is the other side apparently is just immune to elections. They just continue with the same...
That's just liberal.
They make the same arguments they just lost on.
Liberal pedestrian border part.
Exactly. Oh,
lip
John,
service.
John in San Francisco has a cure for my insomnia.
Oh.
Hi, Steph. Jim Ward should do the next Republican State of the Union rebuttal as Mitch McConnell slowly lurching aside to munch a head of lettuce. Useful side effects includes turning a 10-minute nerve-rattling speech into a sweat-free 4 hours and millions of sales on iTunes and as an app to put Ambien out of business, thus reducing health care costs, and Steph will nod off every night. In no time.
President just spouting typical liberal bar part.
Sorry, what?
Now I'm picturing that him just reaching down for a head of lettuce. Ron in Illinois. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Why does everyone ask me that?
All right. Well,
is it my age?
No, it's not your age.
Okay.
It's not your age. What I wanted to talk about was with firearms, and I've actually done both of these situations, and I wanted to mention a hole really in the background check system.
Yeah.
Specifically in Illinois. In-state firearm transfers from one person out of state, you actually have to send the gun to the dealer, and that other person has to go through a background check, and then they get the firearm. Now, when you do in-state transfers
right.
from one person to another, there is no background check system. It's basically to protect myself as a gun owner, I would have to, you know, and this is what I've done, is you create a document, has that person's name, the serial number of the weapon, I think Social Security number, my name, Social Security number, get them signed by both persons. Mm-hmm. I've always had it notarized to just make sure that it's a legal document, and then you transfer the firearm. But there's no background check system.
Yep.
Or, you know, between, you know, in-state to in-state.
Yeah.
So it's something that I've talked about. Another thing that I've talked about.
Well, but we were saying it when 80% of all gun crime, you know, it happens, you know, because of guns that were gotten with no background checks. So there's a problem, obviously, with the background check system. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Red, white, and Steph. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I didn't know there were seven letters in the word love.
Playing all love songs today, you see.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone enter a Taylor Dane in the Westminster? No? 50,
oh.
Why with a flag? 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Did you see that Banana Joe rang the bell on the New York Stock Exchange?
Banana Joe! It's so cute!
And
look
then he was held
face.
Up like Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, he's so cute. He's an Affenpinscher.
Affenpinscher.
Mm-hmm.
And ape terrier.
There was the most handsome romantic Great Pyrenees. He's the one that looks just like Max. Just saying. Baron. His name's Baron. Someone sent me a picture. Okay.
Listen. Baron?
Yes. B-E-R-E-N.
What? B-A-R-O-N.
No, not Baron like me.
Right.
All right. At least you know what I got for Valentine's Day?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, bear as in Baron.
Right.
As if it, okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And now, on the phone from Chicago.
Hold on, everybody. It's Rosalie.
Good morning, Mary. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Are
you sure you don't want to go gay for me?
No. I just want to say you keep making fun out of Rubio with the water thing.
Right. It was hilarious,
now,
right?
Right. What about the anointed one drinking water? Okay, that the media
oh, he walks on water, the anointed
okay,
one.
What about Hillary Clinton?
Wait, go back.
There with the Benghazi drinking water, but no, your media and the left-wing media don't say a word. And why didn't he bring up, because everything he said was lies.
Oh, you know, you mean Rubio?
You know
that's
what?
Why. Yeah, he had to put out the fire in his soul.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He's a liar. The nose gets longer and longer.
Right. Okay. Well, but the president and Hillary's water drinking wasn't as awkward and dorky.
No.
That's why nobody
well,
mentioned it.
Wasn't the fact they were drinking water.
So this is a big. There's so many things in this country, but you're worried about water.
Because that was the most awkward
it was
moment.
Just funny.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't. The most awkward moment was for the anointed one being up there giving a speech.
like he does every year.
He's required to.
Lie.
He's required
lie.
To by the Constitution.
Like, yeah,
it's the
yeah,
State
well,
of the Union.
Know, yeah, well, no. There's a little teleprompter. You know, they should maybe...
Yeah, he's
things.
The first president that's right. ever used a teleprompter.
Yeah, exactly. Does he know how to read?
Well, he obviously does. He was reading a teleprompter,
he's
I guess.
He's written a book, too. You know.
Well, I don't know. What language?
Well, he probably wrote it in Kenyan.
What are you and Mrs.
Yes,
what are you and Mr. Mary doing?
Why don't they get to the real facts? You know, that this guy...
Which lie? Let's pick one.
Two E's. up. He sent the 16 F-16 fighters to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Tanks. Okay,
no.
These people are terrorists.
Mayor,
United
oh,
States.
God. What are you and Mr. Mary doing for Valentine's Day?
Don't get off the subject.
I just want to know what you're
doing.
It's
her show.
What are we doing?
And what
you know what? We're taking our dog and we're just skipping up and down the sidewalk.
That sounds fun.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah,
what,
fun.
You have a Scotty named what's his name? He's handsome.
Fadoos. He's very
handsome. He's handsome and romantic.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And I'm kind of disappointed that the dog, he's cute and everything. That one at Westminster.
Right.
I mean, to me, he looks like a monkey dog.
That's exactly what he is.
Well, yes.
That's what it means, yeah.
Yes.
He resembles somebody a lot, too, and I'm not going to say who.
Mary. You had to get racist on us.
He just did. And you know what was funny? The Portuguese water dog won his class. Gee, I wonder why.
Oh, because the president has a Portuguese.
Well, you know what? That's another thing. When he's out of office, I feel bad for that dog. They know nothing about that breed.
Huh? How do you know that?
Huh? Well, because they know nothing. Every time you see that poor dog, he's on a leash.
And hardly anyone has their dog
on
a leash.
Yeah, you know what? You never mentioned poor Barney dying.
I didn't.
Well,
no.
I feel bad about Barney dying.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the most loved dog in the White House.
Oh, I see. And the president and his family don't love Bo. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they never bring the poor dog up, and, you know.
How do you know?
Well, you know what? Every time I see that poor dog, he's got a dumbfounded look on his face, right? Where am I?
He probably doesn't speak Kenyan. He's probably confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mary, happy Valentine's Day. Have fun skipping up and down the sidewalk there on Wacker, wherever you're.
Wow.
I thought we were ending on.
You know what?
I think she
dog.
Was being sarcastic. Huh? I don't think she and Mr. Mary are going to be skipping up and down the sidewalk with Fadoos.
Yeah. No.
Fadoos the Scotty.
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. That's always a little... That's like being hit with a right-wing stun gun. Okay, let's...
Wow.
Jimmy, use a teleprompter.
All right.
Not like that genius George
President looks like an ape dog.
Okay. Let's... Okay. Do you think she talks in that tone of voice to her husband over a romantic candlelight Valentine's
dinner?
You know what? Pass the gravy and shut up. And give Fadoos another snorsage. Hi, Tim in Illinois. How are you?
Hello.
So
I called you a couple of weeks back, and House Mark said something yesterday. I could have come through the radio airwaves for just kind of caused me irk. And you guys, I agree with a lot of what you say when it comes to gun regulations or gun restrictions and oversight and this kind of stuff. It's totally sensible. But when you let somebody say something like firearm ownership has never been for the private citizen, like Hal Sparks yesterday, it's designed.
Wait, what did he say?
Yesterday, Hal said that absolutely no way was the Second Amendment designed for private gun ownership. It was a call up of the militia. Blah 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 blah.
Well,
that's just simply. It's just simply an error because people have owned private firearms.
Right, but what does a well-regulated militia mean then?
Is it just syllables? Meaningless syllables?
Exactly.
What's
it
that?
Means exactly what it means exactly what it says, and that people were called up into the service, and that was what it was intended for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that aspect, it means what it says. And it also says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. When you look at those,
that's not separate from
okay,
the
Tim.
First part.
Like you know, for instance, somebody was just talking about this. These weapons were designed in World War II. The kind of assault weapons. What? How come in the World War II era people didn't have those in the United States? I mean, soldiers had them in the army, but we weren't having this level of gun violence then, were we?
That's true. As a matter of fact, the M1, which was our assault rifle at the time,
right.
was completely for sale. The rifle that many of the guys in World War I had, they used to keep them and take them home. So they were allowed to take the 45 home, the 1911.
Okay, why
home.
Do you think we didn't have the level of military assault weapon massacres that we're having now?
I believe it's because we have a country that's completely. I mean, we have so many polarized groups. And such a bizarre culture right now. I heard that's a long issue. Now the M16 bullet, which you said was what the guy said is 3,200 feet per second was created in World War II. No, it wasn't. It's actually the 223 Varmint card.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. Oh, dear God. See, this is what happens with the gun people. Slick. You don't know what you're talking about.
That's blah, not blah, a 30 blah. Caliber. It's blah. A 223.
You dumb
Everybody knows
fraud.
That.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it do. And this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by NoFeathersPlease.com. Get sweet savings and take 5% off today only from NoFeathersPlease.com organic cotton and wool bedding. Made in the USA. Shop today at NoFeathersPlease.com.
Yeah.
Yay, thank you very much. All right, yeah, that's the only way to say I love you to Mama on Valentine's Day is buy some Steph crap. How about Sexy Liberal? Sexy Liberal Chicago, April 13th. Megan in Chicago, the official alcoholic, semi-neurotic, small-town realtor of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, get in line.
Right?
Neurotic and alcoholic. Hello.
Hello. Glug, glug, glug. My friend said that group, Adult Children of Alcoholics. She goes, oh, please, who isn't? Steph, cannot wait to meet you in April. Yay! I've been unfortunate in your past Midwest dates, always one frustrating scheduling conflict or another. However, when I heard you'd be my neck of the woods, nape of the woods in Chicago...
Nape. Naperville,
perhaps. Uh-huh. I simply had to compel my bestie in L.A. to join me on our own stomping grounds for your show at the Chicago Theater. She agreed. Woot! I introduced her to you about a year ago and have been playing second fiddle to her ever since. Sigh. That being said, please feel free to hook me up with Road Flare Mary. I'd be more than happy to bust her into the neighborhood and even buy her a drink. See you April 13th from Row 4. Oh, yeah. Sure, Mary's coming.
Sure.
Bringing the news.
You know what?
Okay. All right. I thought we did a moment of dog bonding, and then she went down her usual racist rabbit hole. Oh, well.
You expected her to change?
I did. I'm forever hopeful. I'm a hopeless romantic. I am.
I just think one day on her final call, she will say, you know what? N-word.
Yeah.
You know,
just okay.
Like half an hour.
All right. Okay. You know. Except I will have hung up on her by then. Okay. Cameron and Charlotte with a question. Steph, so let me get this straight. You're a lesbian with humans, but straight when it comes to dogs. You know what? I never thought of that.
That is
I guess I am.
Creepy.
Technically in love with Max and Fred. We are so handsome. Oh, someone sent me a cartoon. It's a vet talking to a woman, their dog. Try not talking to him in that sickening baby voice for a while. We'll see if the vomiting continues.
Yeah.
That could be what it is. All right. You know my favorite scary writer? Stephen King? No.
No.
It's Ari Berman from The Nation.
Who, I thought you were saying Edgar Allan Poe.
He's scary, scary, scary. Hello, Ari Berman.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Ari Berman. How are you?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. When I say scary, I mean scary in a good way, in a cautionary way. You warn us about, voting shenanigans and the like. And I think it's because of you that it didn't work in this last election, because you shine a great big spotlight on it.
Well, I'll take all the credit. Thank you.
All right. And I enjoy you on the TV machine, in addition. You don't take a compliment well. Look at how shy you are.
I can only take one compliment.
That was it. All right. That was too much now. Okay. So, this latest piece, why are conservatives trying to destroy the Voting Rights Act? Terrifying as usual. You say in 2006, Congress voted overwhelmingly to reauthorize key provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 for another 25 years. So, and yet here we are, right? As you write, 7 years later, the bipartisan consensus that supported the Voting Rights Act for nearly 50 years has collapsed, and conservatives are challenging the law as never before. Last November, 3 days before the presidential election, in which voter suppression played a starring role, which obviously the president talked about, right, in the State of the Union, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a challenge to Section 5 of the VRA, which compels parts or all of 16 states with a history of racial discrimination in voting to clear election-related changes with the federal government. The case will be heard very soon, right, February 27th?
Yep.
And so, I mean, talk to us about this. I don't think people understand what a big deal this is.
Well, it's a very big deal because the Voting Rights Act is the most important civil rights law ever passed. And it's one of the most important laws ever passed by Congress. So
it's a very consequential law that has impacted our society in all sorts of ways that people don't realize. And the most important provision of the Voting Rights Act is this provision, Section 5, which forces these parts or all of 16 states, primarily in the South, to clear their voting changes with the federal government, because Section 5 is the most powerful enforcement tool that the federal government has, at least with regards to parts of the country, the countries with the parts with the worst history of racial discrimination, to try to stop the voter suppression efforts that we saw in 2012. So the fact, for example, that Texas's voter ID law and Texas's redistricting plans are not in effect right now is because of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And so what would happen is, if conservatives were able to strike down this provision, it would green light voter suppression, not only in these parts of the country that are covered by Section 5, but really everywhere, because once they can get rid of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, they'll start taking aim at other parts of it, and they'll start chipping away. And the remedies to stop racial discrimination in voting will become fewer and fewer.
I love it. We just played a clip in Right Wing World of Brian Kilmeade and I think Martha McCullum, and she literally was saying, what's the big deal? The 102-year woman got to vote. I mean, so what? What else does she have to do? It literally, it's like, is a game of missing the point entirely, right? That you know, the fact that an 102-year, that was why the president spotlighted it, right?
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot we need to do to reform the electoral system, but to be able to reform the electoral system, we have to keep the existing laws that we have on the books. So there's no way that we're going to get major electoral reform if we kill the most important provision of the Voting Rights Act. I think we can all pretty much assume that. We need to do a lot more. If anything, we probably need to expand the Voting Rights Act, given the scope of 21st century voting discrimination, not to strike it down.
As you say, you write about that. Certainly true, voter suppression efforts have spread to states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. If anything, that's an argument for expanding it, as you just said, not eliminating it. You know, and further, you write, the current campaign against the Voting Rights Act, the result of three key factors: a whiter, more southern, more conservative GOP that has responded to demographic change by trying to suppress an increasingly diverse electorate. And that seems to be their sole strategy, right, as opposed to any new ideas, right?
It really does. I mean, we thought there would be some sort of rethink after the 2012 election. We thought, for example, that the GOP might get behind policies like immigration reform. It's certainly possible that they might, but there is a very powerful wing of the party that continues to push these voter suppression efforts, continues to be very hostile to any real attempts to respond to demographic change. And if you just look at the states that are trying to push to overturn Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Texas, I mean, you really can't have it both ways. You're either for more people voting and participating in the political process, or you're not. And I think this is something that the Chris Christies of the world, the people who are slightly more reasonable, I guess you could say, have to really grapple with, which is, do they want to be thought of as the party that guts the Voting Rights Act, or do they want to be thought of as the party that brings more people into the political process? The Bush administration, of all people, thought about this in 2006, and they said, we don't want to be thought of as the party that kills the Voting Rights Act. And that's why the Bush administration and Republican in Congress led the effort to reauthorize the Voting Rights Act, and it's been reauthorized four times. Every authorization has been signed by a Republican president.
Yep.
So we're really moving backwards. And the fact that it could happen, we could overturn the Voting Rights Act when we have an African-American president during Black History Month, is incredibly disturbing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you even point out that even George Bush apologized, right, to the NAACP for the Southern strategy, right, the Republicans' previous Republican strategy. But if anything, you're saying this is a new one. This is a new Southern strategy.
People don't realize that obviously the Bush administration did a lot of bad things when it came to voting rights. But people forget that after Bush's reelection, Ken Mellman, his RNC chair, went around the country to NAACP groups apologizing for the Southern strategy. So Mellman's idea was, we need to bring more Blacks and Hispanics and Asians into the Republican Party. Then Hurricane Katrina happened. Obviously, the president's standing, which was already weak with Black voters, plummeted. Then Obama was elected with 80% of the minority vote. And the GOP thought to themselves, okay, we can't win by trying to court the minority vote. The so-called Mellman strategy failed. Let's just suppress it instead.
Yeah. Well, Ari,
2010 election, them introduced all these new voting restrictions, and now they're trying to kill the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, just to so people understand what they're doing exactly. You say after the 2010 election, they approved laws in more than a dozen states to restrict the right to vote by requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote, shutting down voter registration drives, curtailing early voting, disenfranchising ex-felons, and mandating government-issued photo IDs. So, but then talk to us about redistricting, because that's the thing that, you know, when you hear, you know, John Boehner or others going, oh, the American people voted for, you know, a Republican House. No, they didn't, right?
No, they didn't. And I mean, redistricting in many ways was the most powerful disenfranchising tool that Republicans had, because Democratic House candidates got more votes than Republicans, but Republicans have 33 more seats in Congress as a result. You look at, for example, a state like North Carolina. North Carolina, Democratic House candidates got 51% of the vote, but Republicans control 7 of the 11 congressional districts there. So what they're doing is they're grouping basically all the minorities in these states, and they're putting them into as few districts as possible. This is how they're accomplishing this mass disenfranchisement.
You actually say
it's particularly bad in those states that are covered by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, you say black voters and elected officials have less influence in the South now than at any time since the Civil Rights era, said you quote from a 2011 report.
There's more black elected officials now, but they have less power because they're all serving in the minority, because the Republican Party is essentially an all-white party in the South and nationally, I might add, and they're in the majority, at least for the next decade, because of redistricting. The Democratic Party is much more diverse. It's a multiracial coalition, both in the South and elsewhere, but they're in the minority because of the way these maps have been drawn.
You know, and you make a really good point about the, you say the kind of post-racial society that would signal Section 5's irrelevance isn't anywhere on the horizon. And you just cite a few examples. I mean, we've all, you know, seen blatant racist things about the president, but you were talking about following his reelection, white students at the University of Mississippi yelled racial slurs. Yeah. Obama won only 10% of the white vote in Mississippi, 15% in Alabama. So interesting, you say opponents of the DRA argue the election of the first black president showed that the disenfranchised minority groups no longer need special constitutional protection. So, and then when you talk about these ugly attempts at voter suppression, you can't make that argument anymore, can they?
Well, it's quite the opposite, in fact, that voter suppression efforts flourished after Obama's election. This is when the GOP really started pushing these things most aggressively, and it's been true throughout history. If you look, for example, at the Reconstruction period, when minorities have had the loudest voice in the government, that's when voter suppression efforts have been the fiercest. And if you look at those states that are subject to Section 5, 6 of the 9 states that are fully covered by Section 5, primarily in the South, passed new voting restrictions since the 2010 election, compared to one-third of the states that passed voting restrictions that aren't covered by Section 5. So clearly the Alabamas, the Mississippis, the Texases, and Virginias of the world are different in the scope of their voting discrimination than even the Ohio, the Pennsylvania, the Wisconsins. And this isn't ancient history. It's such recent history that the idea that we'd be talking about striking down the Voting Rights Act when there were so many cases brought under the Voting Rights Act in the past election is really puzzling.
Yeah, absolutely. A great piece, as always, and it's equally as terrifying as your earlier work.
Well, I have a high bar to live up to now.
You are a scary, scary man, and yet I adore you. All right, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
There he goes. Ari Berman of The Nation.
Yep. Ooh. And we have a link to that article up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, check it out. All right, 19 minutes after the hour. I'm sure Rochelle Mary's already there reading it. Very concerned about that. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You're just haunting me on Valentine's Day.
What?
Okay.
This is the perfect Valentine's Day song.
23, do you like it?
It's about topiary.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
It's about being shoved into the hedges in front of the Y.
Thanks. Bring back my former pain.
In Lockport.
Being bullied. All right, 23 minutes after the hour. By the way, Kevin wants to know, is Mary the chain-smoking cafeteria lady from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Computer says no.
I think she's real.
You know what?
Hmm. Kevin also says, Steph, let's hope the gun nuts are not also paramedics or EMTs, because if they would show up after a gun shooting, the victim would bleed to death while they argued over whether the holes were made by a 22 or 40 caliber right. bazooka. All right, so stop calling.
That looks like 7.9 millimeters to me. That's no, that's a 30.
You don't understand.
That's a 30-06. No, it's 7.9 millimeters.
All right, the boner on gun violence.
How do we address violence in our society? How do we take meaningful steps to reduce that violence? And as I've made clear for weeks, when the Senate, if the Senate acts, we'll be happy to take a look at what they do.
He was pounding those bourbon and cokes. I'll tell you what, at the State of the Union, don't tell me that was just good.
That was a people are saying that those were like, you know, paper stamps in front of him, that big silver set.
Yeah.
I don't think it was. That was a tiny cocktail shaker.
It was a little cocktail. Yeah.
It had to have been. I think they call it a Boston shaker.
They, at least they came prepared for their hydration needs. Well, me and Rubio. Yeah,
that's true.
Okay.
I was thirsty. What was I gonna do?
All right, Southern Belle Lindsey Graham on guns.
Oh, my stars.
Let's vote. I don't disagree with the president to have a debate. Let's vote. Let's find something we can agree on.
Okay, I'll get back to him in a moment. David Keene from the NRA.
The president's trying to use a motion to force things through before they've been rationally debated.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, so we shouldn't get emotional about six-year-olds, 20 of them, being mowed down, you know, unrecognizable because of the violence.
Emotional.
Yeah.
You
liberals.
You emotional liberals. So emotional. Y'all ought to be shot. What, did I just say that? Oh, yeah, I think I did.
Oh, boy.
Jim Louise, please. Okay, Southern Belle Lindsey Graham. My God.
Oh, my
So, this really is, you know how we keep using the word unprecedented? It is literally unprecedented to filibuster a cabinet position. Never happened in our history, ever. So, McCain is flip-flop now on filibustering Hagel to back up his little buddy, Southern Belle Lindsey Graham. Because, I'll explain the whole thing.
Okay, please do.
Last week, you know, John McCain was all in his elder statesman-y. In his elder statesman-y mode. That was his policy last week. It was the policy.
Not the policy.
Respecting the president's prerogative in making nominations and the Senate's role in providing advice and advising consent on those nominations, blocking a cabinet nomination, McCain suggested, just not done. It's just not done.
Really? Okay.
Now, after saying just days ago they should not filibuster Hagel's nod, McCain now says he hasn't made his mind up about whether he would vote to end the debate and allow a floor vote. He appears to be aligning himself with his closest little buddy, Lindsey Graham.
Southern Belle.
They Lindsey are Graham. So Gilligan and the Captain, those two.
Skipper!
Who had been demanding more information on Benghazi.
Oh, come
before,
on.
But he has nothing
to do with.
They're more like Thurston Howell than Lovey.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So he's providing cover for his bestest buddy, who's only conducting this prolonged hissy fit, according to Daily Kos, because Benghazi is catnip to the teabaggers, and he's trying to keep them from giving him a primary challenge in 2014. Yep. So that's what that's about. How's your little plan go to get rid of Susan Rice so you can get the senator fold back in the Senate? How'd that go? That blowed up real good.
And let me just say Benghazi, 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 Benghazi.
What is this? What was that? What are we talking? Oh, yes, this is what Senator Harry Reid is saying.
It's the first time in the history of our country that a presidential nominee for Secretary of Defense has been filibustered. What a shame.
Oh, he sounded so angry.
Yeah, well, for Harry Reid, yes.
I'm sorry that you had to hear me this way.
I'm about to raise my voice in another second.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Donna in Illinois, or excuse me, Indianapolis. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling, and I love you guys.
Thank you.
I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Anyway, I was calling about the Republicans. The way they are running the country's business, it's like, to me, it's treasonous, because they are trying to run Obama's presidency so badly that they are just going to take the country down. They've been doing that. They didn't want him to get reelected, and now they just want the presidency to be failed, but they're ruining the country.
You didn't just notice that, right?
No, but you know what? I mean, Stephanie, it's like, okay, I watch your show all the time and everything, and it's like, okay, the country is behind him. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care what's best for the country. If you want to take your own personal finances and, you know, mess yourself up, you know, they're like,
Donna,
you know,
didn't it kill you watching the Republicans, like, try to clap politely at the things and it was like, oh, yay, okay, but we can't have that because of us. Oh, yay for that good idea that everybody wants in America except because we can't have that because of us. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Valentine's Day always makes me think of my best girlfriend.
Stephanie Miller.
What a kid. She had the biggest buck teeth I ever saw. First time I took her in my arms, she kissed me and plucked my eyebrows at the same time.
Wow. Oh, Bob
Happy
Hope.
Prefabricated holiday designed to make single people feel bad. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800 Bitter, party one. Very bitter. Very, very bitter. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter.
Yeah.
A bitter, bitter person.
Yeah, so, okay. Let's go to Karen in Albuquerque. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Oh, hi.
Hello, hi.
She's between left and Albuquerque.
Right. Hello, Karen.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
I have a Nook, and I downloaded the Constitution because I thought someday I might need this.
Right.
And I've been looking at the Second Amendment, and it occurs to me that it was ratified December the 15th in 1791.
Right.
And it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, in 1791, those men who wrote the Constitution could not possibly have imagined a world in which you did not have to go out and shoot your dinner.
Right.
They could not possibly have imagined that you could go down to the grocery store and buy your food.
Yep, so absolutely. And by the way, I can out-political geek you. I have a copy of the Constitution in my purse.
Excellent.
There
excellent.
You go. Excellent. Very nice. Nicely done. Very politically geeky. All right.
Yeah, the Second Amendment is as dated as the Third Amendment is. It could use some revising.
A little brushing up.
And, you know, we had, you know, prohibition for a while, and we had an amendment to get rid of that.
Right.
So,
then God bless America for that amendment. Yikes. Jim, Gerald is a right-winger who stumbled across our show, who likes to listen to both sides, and doesn't think we have enough people on to talk about gun rights. Hello, Gerald. Good morning.
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Gerald from Simi Valley. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am good.
Good. I'm on the opposite side of the gun issue.
Okay.
And the reason is only one side is being spoken about, and that's how many deaths there are, and the deaths are sad. Between 11 and 15,000 people a year get killed by guns. Now, in that statistic, there are justifiable shootings, there are homicides, there are suicides, and there's police shootings. But nobody ever mentions that there's 2.4 million people a year that are able to and have saved themselves from great bodily harm or injury by using
that, you know what, Gerald, I have heard people try to toss that statistic around. I do not believe that is provable. That's what I know.
Okay.
I know people on the gun side like to say, oh, a huge percentage are justifiable. Those are not the statistics I have ever seen from any study. You are 43 times more likely. That is one study that I don't believe I've heard anybody refute that is reasonable on this issue. 43 times more likely to kill an acquaintance or a loved one.
Stephanie, and I appreciate your comment on that, but if you Google FBI statistics on this issue, the FBI statistics are the ones that state 2.4 million people a year have saved themselves.
But are those people
so it's not Gerald.
Hang on, let Jim ask a question.
Are those people who feel threatened, for example, the guy who shot Trayvon Martin, who felt threatened by this black kid with the iced tea and Skittles, and he stood his ground, according to Florida law. I mean, those people who legitimately were facing bodily harm or just felt that they were?
Well, you can isolate certain things, but when the FBI states a broad number, and it's never addressed by the left, which is unfortunate.
Right, but Gerald, nobody is trying to keep people from having guns in self-defense. That's why I think that's a false issue. We're talking about background checks. We're talking about reasonable gun measures that most Americans are for. That are, you know, we're just talking about whether it's high capacity clips or assault rifles or just simple background checks. That's not taking away your right to defend yourself.
No, but the portrayal, and one of the things I find offensive is you're calling people gun nuts.
Well, some people are. Right. I mean, Gabby Giffords and her husband are gun owners
right.
and believers in the Second
right.
Amendment. Are they? I'm not calling them gun nuts.
No, but I'm saying it's the terminology used.
Wayne LaPierre is a gun nut.
I'm not a gun nut.
Okay, I didn't say you are.
Ammunition.
I didn't say every gun owner is a gun nut.
But the opposite side isn't ever placed. The other issue is there's 195,000 people a year that die from medical malpractice. Where is the outcry? Where is the outrage?
Well, there is outcry about that as well. Okay.
Thanks
for calling.
Apples and oranges.
Yes,
I mean,
it's apples and oranges, which gun enthusiasts like to do.
Doctors
guns
don't,
are less like abortion. And
doctors
I,
don't deliberately kill people. Sometimes they make
right.
mistakes.
Oh, right. I mean, we were saying this breaking news story about the Blade Runner guy, Oscar Pistorius, and we don't know, but there is word that he thought his girlfriend was an intruder
yep.
and shot her to death.
And she was sneaking into
right. And there was a
surprise him for Valentine's
stories
Day.
Stories recently about the grandfather right. shot the granddaughter because
right.
he thought she was an intruder.
Right.
And, you know, there are, you can't kid me. There are, when you get a statistic, 43 times more likely
well, again,
to just
that,
kill
you,
a loved one or an acquaintance or a friend.
And are those the things the FBI is talking about where people
right.
felt as if they were threatened?
Right.
And I'm getting tweets saying that those FBI statistics are coming from Alex Jones.
Oh,
oh
there
well,
you go.
Okay.
Well,
so,
then, yes. I know. I heard
the Bureau of... Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Max.
So there's that.
I heard one right when you were talking
wow.
about they don't even count the number of people that it's just prevented because they know they had a gun and they just ran away
there's
because they brandished.
Good.
They know there's no brandishing statistic.
Oh,
like
God.
That happens a million
Look,
times
I've
a day.
Got a gun. Look, I'm brandishing.
Like what about all the times that you know the
right.
crime was prevented because of brandishing of guns? Okay.
Oh,
We have a lot of provable statistics where people
yeah.
are killed, you know. Okay. Okay. Stephen in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. All the statistics I've seen, that's a pretty small percentage
right.
of gun deaths, people
yeah.
that are killed
legitimately
justifiably. Yes.
Himself,
yes.
Yeah.
Stephen in Chicago. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, my dear. How
Hello.
Are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, yeah. First, I want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day, and I really
Thank
want to
you.
Support you and say how grateful I am that you're getting up every day and doing your work, and also the other guys in the studio, the producers. And if you
Thank
would
you.
Please tell Jackie Schechner, I think she's adorable. She doesn't
Aww.
Have to worry. I'm gay, so...
She's
totes adorbs.
Well, thank you. Thank you for supporting
you
our right to go to bed at...
That stupid o'clock.
And get up at...
Insane o'clock.
And have absolutely no personal life of any kind on Valentine's Day, so we can manufacture this dreck for you.
Yes. Will you be my Valentine, Stephen?
Excuse me?
Will you be my Valentine?
I will certainly be your Valentine.
Thank you.
Absolutely, because I am single as well. But I'm coming to the Chicago Theater, and I look forward to it very
Yay!
Much.
Yay!
So,
Party!
Yeah,
April 13th, anyway. Chicago Theater. Tickets almost gone. Go, get them.
Okay. I'm PRing you here. Don't you worry.
All right.
So anyway, I just there's so much to talk about. What I think is so incredibly unbelievable to me is, you know, in terms of the idiocy, the stubbornness, and the lack of awareness that the people that we've hired supposedly to do the job of representing us in Congress, they are so attached to their point of view that they've lost what it is to be a human being at some level and operate out of a common decency. And I think that's the underlying issue is we're not seeing each other for who we are. And, of course, politics presents a whole myriad of
you know, complications in which to do that, and the president and everybody who is operating within it has certain challenges to try to get their view across. But what I see is, and as far as maybe people are seeing it but not talking about it, perhaps it's a little taboo still yet in our country, is when you're watching some of these people, Eric Cantor or Lindsey Graham speak or Rubio, you know, what is their body saying to you? What are their eyes saying to you? You know, it's unbelievable to me that people are not picking up on, wow, that's, you know.
Yeah, as it turns out, your body just shuts down when you've told too many lies.
I think so.
You're like, his body is just like,
yeah. The chat room brings up a good point,
yes.
By the way.
Yes.
Why would the FBI keep statistics of prevented crimes?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't. It's impossible.
Right.
And Kyle and Albuquerque.
That was my point with the stand your ground thing.
Exactly.
Was it an actual threat? Did he just feel threatened?
Right.
You know.
That's impossible to predict.
Yeah. I would have died had I not shot that guy in the back.
Right. Yes. Yes. The grandfather's like, oh, well, I thought it was an intruder, so I shot my granddaughter.
Yeah.
You know.
Self-defense.
Yeah.
Alex Jones is a ridiculous nincompoop.
What? How dare you, sir?
How dare you? Kyle in Albuquerque, because the other caller also said, how come nobody cares about all the people that die from medical... It's like, but people do care about that.
Right. Yeah, it's a completely different issue.
Kyle writes, doctors versus gun nuts. Mama, was the caller suggesting that gun owners should then go to school, get licenses, and pay for malpractice insurance? If so, great!
Yeah, good idea.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. We'll take that under advisement.
What about people who die in car crashes, huh? How about that?
How come no one cares about that?
What do you think
we
about?
Do? That's why we have cell phone and seatbelt laws and speed limits.
God.
Mary in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
And registration.
Thank you. And insurance. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, hi.
Hello?
Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say hi to Jim because my husband and I love Marvin the Martian and we love his impersonation.
I declare this planet in the name of Mars.
No, that was your Neil Cavuto impression.
That's right. Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. What I wanted to talk about is Tennessee's response to the gun problem is to push through a guns and trunks bill where if you have a carry permit, you must be allowed to have your gun in your car in the parking lot. Now, I don't know who would be able to stop a bad guy with a gun if you have to run out to the parking lot unlock your car.
I've got a gun in the glove compartment. Just wait 10 minutes.
Hang on. You wait there while I go get a gun to shoot you. Okay, yeah, that's... I think it's best more people don't have guns in L.A. because we have a lot of
I have to pay the attendant first, but I'll get my gun as soon as I get out of the parking garage.
If everybody here had a gun, because how many times someone did that five-lane change in front of you in one store, I think I'll drift over five lanes in front of you.
That's why I had 50-caliber machine guns in the front of my car.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Have you ever been stuck at the Grove parking garage at Christmas time?
Yeah.
That's
Yikes.
When you want to bring a gun.
Kablam!
Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah, I'm just saying, some gun nuts, a little bit paranoid. Who is, the one woman was saying that her grandmother keeps a gun in her purse because she's afraid when she comes out of the grocery store that someone's going to be hiding under her car and grab her ankles and pull her.
Under.
So in which case, she still would probably not have time to get her gun out of her purse.
Right. I mean, does she keep a gun with her at all times at home in case there's a monster under her bed?
It's creepy. She maybe has watched Monsters, Inc. too many times.
That could be.
Okay.
Or maybe the clown doll from Poltergeist might be hiding underneath her bed.
Right.
Pull her under.
I just don't think she
Mr.
thought
President,
it through.
We must not have a clown doll gap.
All right. 47. What about entities? What about my favorite movie?
Entities. There could be entities.
Sure.
Can you shoot them, though? You need
frozen nitrogen.
Right. And a box.
Yeah.
In which case, a gun won't help you.
No.
You're just
going to
shoot your room full of holes.
Holes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the entity will remain unscathed. Ask Barbara Hershey.
Yeah.
Okay. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm like, do you know any girls? 52 minutes. Get out of my yard. 52 minutes.
You got two handsome romantic boys in your yard.
Oh, it's so handsome. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour.
No, Afton Pinchos, though.
No. Every freaking Valentine's Day. Yeah, I turn into Road Claire Mary.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know what?
You know what? Happy stupid manufactured holiday. Hello, Jeff and Almeida. Welcome.
Yeah, hi.
Happy
Single People of Losers Day.
Thank you.
So, minimum wage. Boner the other day said that if we raise the minimum wage, you raise the price of something, you get less of it. This is a common fallacy that people on that progressives make almost as frequently as the other guys. The decision process that an employer makes when they decide to hire somebody is not the same kind of decision process that you or I make when, say, we're going to buy a car. When we're going to buy a car, we say, okay, here's how much money we have, and we're going to try to get the most car for that money. So if the car is more expensive, or if, you know, whatever is more expensive, we're going to have to get less car or less of whatever. But that's not what happens when you decide you want to hire somebody. You hire somebody only when you need someone to help. And then you go and you say, okay, what kind of skills do I need? And you go and you find somebody with that skill set, and you pay them, you know, whatever you can arrange to pay them. Right. So the decision to hire comes first, and how much it costs comes second, as opposed to that kind of budgeting kind of approach that consumers take. And the difference is that if I hire somebody and I'm paying them however much, you know, in pay, that I can build that into my price when I go sell my product.
Yeah.
And that's something that consumers don't do. We're the end user.
Right, exactly. Well, exactly. As Jay Carney said, we have a lot of empirical evidence on this question, and the best studies consistently find the minimum wage has no adverse effect on unemployment. Mm-hmm. This was what he's talking about, the boner.
At a time when the American people are still asking the question, where are the jobs, why would we want to make it harder for small employers to hire people?
$9 is outrageous. I can buy a bottle.
Then he got a little tangled up in a little too many bourbon and cokes the other night. He got a little tangled up in a ladder analogy. He said, what happens when you take away the first couple of the rungs on the economic ladder? You make it harder for people to get on the ladder. Our goal is to get people on the ladder and help them climb that ladder so they can live the American dream. This makes it harder for them to acquire the skills they need in order to climb that ladder.
Really?
Of course, they can't afford a ladder if they're
making
$7
an hour. He just made an easy analogy really, really hard to understand.
So if you airlift someone to the top of the ladder, then they don't have to climb up the ladder. See how it works?
They can't afford a ladder because of the president being a socialist. So the president just gives them that little handoff.
You know, hey, ladders.
There's no ladder. There's only socialist Kenyan hands to help them up. Who's with me?
He made an easy analogy really, really difficult.
I got lost somewhere in the ladder.
Yeah, it could be a ladder that is just leaning against the belly, or it could be like an A-frame ladder, so you could climb it
with that little shelf on it
and
put the paint on.
And that would cost more than $9.
The president is only giving us an IKEA step stool. Well, you really need a tree trimming ladder.
And the IKEA step stool you need to put together.
God, IKEA. You know, those Swedes are like...
The president's trying to get you a crappy stool and some free meatballs.
You and your sweet
meatballs. I'm
trying
to get you a ladder.
I just want a ladder that people can climb on.
Wow, we riffed on that one, didn't we?
Holy
crap.
Bourbon and ladders don't
You know
mix.
When you get stuck in a drunken ladder analogy at a bar?
You know what?
All right. The boner.
Last night, the president offered up more of the same.
More of the same.
Higher taxes and more stimulus spending. And just as disappointing, we're weeks away from the president's sequester. And the president laid out no plan to eliminate the sequester and the harmful cuts that will come as a result.
The president sequester?
Who wants to sequester?
Who
the
voted
boner?
For this? It was actually Paul Ryan's
Paul
bill.
Paul Ryan yes. sponsored the bill.
Yeah.
So it would be the Munster quester.
It's a Munster quester.
The Munster quester, right.
Mm, yummy.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't!
All right, budget Munster. That was a little few too many S words in a row for that much bourbon, wasn't
it? You got a sequester.
Spending a sequester.
Spending a sequester. Oh. You need a ladder.
Oh, no, not
oh,
the
God,
ladder
no.
again. Oh, God, really? David in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi there.
Hi.
Gosh, that the caller a few back, the gun control guy, really changed my mind. I had no idea that without guns in our society, we would have an additional 2.4 million people die every year without guns. I had no idea about that.
Yes, that's because it's completely untrue, but yes.
Wow. The reason I'm calling is
I think the oh by the way, someone wrote us, David, the official FBI statistics, the 161 justifiable homicides a year.
161 million
compared to thousands and thousands of homicides and suicides and whatever.
So, well, the reason I'm calling is just about the filibuster against Chuck Hagel. I'm completely confused, and maybe you guys can answer the question, but didn't Harry Reid come up with some plan with the Republicans to avoid filibusters? And if that did happen, shouldn't that have occurred in this situation?
You would think.
Because we never would have dreamed. Well, I never would have dreamed Republicans would behave this way. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by British Police Uniforms LA. Are you a producer who won't film in Britain due to their vicious jihad against the rights of weapons of mass murder to be carried lovingly on the set? Film the UK in LA with British Police Uniforms LA.
Yahoo! Thank you!
I'm on a bat.
Greg tweets that to those of us single losers on Valentine's Day, even Honey Boo Boo's mother has a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks, Greg.
And she's the one that looks like a thumb.
A thumb with teeth.
Yeah.
And Road Flair Mary has a husband.
You know what?
Yeah, you know what, Greg? Screw you. On behalf of me and Road Flair Mary. Oh, that was a Valentine's Day gift, wasn't it? Road Flair Mary's call earlier today.
You think you're so smart.
I tried again to get her to go gay for me. No, no go, no go.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
Ah, yeah.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
And as 60s. Mary says right after that, tell Rocky Mountain Mike to shove it.
Shove his 60s flute.
Imagine Mr. Boy, Mary on Valentine's shot. Tonight getting a nice road flare.
Getting a mouthful,
cigarette smoke
a mouthful of that.
Want to swap a little spit. Do we think road flares or unfiltered camels? What do we think? We're not really...
Road flares. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Speaking of Rocky Mountain Mike, he writes, woohoo, just want my plane ticket for Chicago.
Yay!
See you guys there. Bye-bye.
Everybody's
going.
Hey, Chicago. You say twice wasn't enough?
15 is my limit.
Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal comedy tour is making a return visit to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Witness the ecclesiastical moot John Fugelsang, hilarious heartthrob Hal Sparks, and Catholic girl gone wild Stephanie Miller. as they reunite for another night of inspired comedy.
We're putting the band back together.
We're on a mission from God.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked a number one comedy album and its own TV documentary. It's more fun than a bag of Vipers.
We're just packaging what the kids want.
That's the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
By the way, who can argue with that?
Sweet Home Chicago is about to get more sugar from Mama.
Sweet Home Chicago.
All right, what's trying to get that gosh darn bag of Vipers off my gosh darn plane? That's my point.
Please, get the sexy liberal in your life. Tickets to Chicago Sexy Liberal today.
What if you
Why
don't have
not?
A sexy liberal?
What's that?
What if you don't have a sexy liberal in your life?
It's a Valentine's for me, then.
Okay.
Just do it. Do it. Buy it. I'm just saying it's an awesome date. Maybe even a road trip involved. Okay.
A road trip with a road flare.
There you go. Jason and Jerry, a little love letter for all of us on Valentine's Day. Hey, Steph, I want to say how much I enjoy your show. Also love Jim and Chris. I love when Jim does his impression of John McCain. Actually, it's not the policy for Jim to do his John McCain impression. It's not the policy here. It's so funny. Just want to ask you what you think the Republicans would have said if someone like Alan Grayson had invited a Dixie chick to a George W. Bush State of the Union. I think they would blow a gasket.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Dixie chicks did not threaten the life of the president. Ted Nugent does, and he's called a patriot, and the Dixie chicks are called traitors. Thank you. You're the smartest boy in class, Jason.
I just can't believe they let Nugent come to the State of the Union.
I know.
Well, unfortunately, since the House is controlled by the Republicans and he was brought by a House member, Democrats really had no say.
Well, if I were the Secret Service, I would have had a
thing or two. Say a thing or two to say about a thing or two. Hey, I did not know this. Someone tweeted, Pope announces resignation on the birthday of Sarah Palin, patron saint of quitting stuff early.
Oh!
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
Don't you think?
Really, or is that one of those internet facts? Do we know that?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
It's like 10,000 spoons causing deaths more than guns.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
That's How about ironic. People that get killed by 10,000 spoons? Why aren't we outlawing spoons? Okay. You know what? I was just trying to find somebody that might be having a worse day than me on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
I'm pre-manufactured holiday designed to make single people feel bad about themselves.
Okay.
Day.
All right.
Don't you hate it when the meth lab blows up in your porta potty? I do.
Oh, no.
A mini meth lab was found Tuesday inside a porta potty on a golf course in Oklahoma.
Ugh.
Three bottles were in the porta potty. Two exploded before police arrived.
Ooh. Clean up on aisle 7.
Well, I'm just saying. You might have been having a really good round, and then suddenly, you know, a meth lab
has
exploded up your arse.
Or not just a meth lab, but a porta potty
right?
as well.
Right.
Now, there's some shrapnel in that.
That's a bad moment. Who could have seen that coming? Nobody. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to TJ in Las Vegas. Hey, TJ, welcome. Hi, TJ.
Hey there, Steph.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I too am a gay with doggies. So
yay.
We're going to be spending them all together. I was wanting to call about that guy who was talking about the fact that he got very upset when you talk about gut nuts and he thought you were talking about him. And
right.
I own a gun and have never, ever even considered that you were talking about me.
Of course not. Of course not.
I'm also from Las Vegas, and I know you have a problem with Vegas and losing money. And I have to tell you, as a bartender.
I'm just kind of a wuss.
Yeah, well, if you go to the right bar here, sweetie, you won't feel a thing.
Ooh.
It'll be fine.
Mm. Ooh, where's your bar?
Am I allowed to say it?
Silverton. Sure.
You're in Las Vegas Casino.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just don't have a stomach for gambling. That's my problem.
Well, again, you won't feel it. It'll be fine. We'll get you through it. And I know T-Bone was worried about Harry Reid, and I think Harry Reid is kind of one of those, like, old-time, you know, Democrats where he really works across the aisle, and he tried really hard to get an agreement on the filibuster. And I think now that they walk up to him and shook his hand and looked him in the face and lied to him, he's going to get it fixed. So
I hope so. All right. Thanks for calling from Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Happy Valentine's
Day. All right.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Whatever.
Got to check out her bar.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You ever know? I could meet someone by the end of the day that might go to Vegas with me and get married. You never know. It's early. Okay. By the way.
Your kind of marriage isn't legal there yet.
My kind of marriage. only Britney Spears can go get married
exactly.
for like 47 hours.
Right.
But I can't.
Nope. Not at all.
I did it again.
I want to go to the Elvis Chapel. Who's with me? Okay. I love this part. Did you see Marco Rubio said the water bottle moment was a message from God? If that's true, it's a message that he does not want you to be president, clearly.
It's a message that you should have hydrated before you spoke.
Yes, exactly. I needed water. What am I going to do? You know, it happens. God has a funny way of reminding us we're human.
Because I didn't think I was human before. I thought I was...
Funny way of reminding us that God, clearly, a Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Ian in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ian.
Hello. Mama. Hello, Mooks.
Hello.
I had a comment about the gun rights person who called earlier. I don't know if it was you or him who was commenting on the brandishing issue.
Yes. How many deaths are prevented by brandishing?
Yeah, I was thinking about that when that was said. I am not a gun owner. I'm not a gun user. But if I had a gun and I saw somebody brandishing a firearm at me,
right,
my first reaction, if I had a gun, would be to shoot him.
Right.
Because he's showing he has a weapon.
Right. How many brandishments gone wrong have there been? Who has a statistic on that, Ian? Exactly.
Look, I got a gun.
By way of conversation, do you anyone ever in the history of your life that's ever said, oh, by the way, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I brandished a gun at someone who ran away. I don't know anyone that's happened to.
No.
Okay.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Sarah Palin's birthday is February 11th, not 14th.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Yeah. All right. Because that was our joke about how's that, what did I say, the Popey Changey thing
Popey
going
changey
for you?
Thing, yeah.
And then the Daily Show oddly thought of the same thing at the exact same time.
Hmm.
Same night.
How odd. Just like when they had Mitch McConnell as a turtle on the night.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the check. Okay.
A friend of mine used to write for Letterman. He said, oh, we stole all the time. Come on. We're on deadline.
Exactly.
You know what, though? We put together 3 hours a day. They only put together
It's fairly
minutes,
clear, though, this is put together
minutes.
With chewing gum and popsicle sticks.
Yeah.
And no writers of any kind.
None.
All right. But we are helpers.
We are.
Even though I'm a big, bitter, single loser on Valentine's Day, it doesn't mean I don't want my right-wing friends to be happy.
Finding true right-wing love is a challenge, so that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at teapartyharmony.com.
Yay!
Yay!
All right.
I was at Joan Walsh had a good thing, an article and so on about Mark Rubio, Marco and his supposed savior status. Oh, wait, save it for later.
All right, we'll do it when we come back. She always has great stuff.
Yes.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller.
And me.
Somehow I don't see you as Barry White.
22 minutes after the hour. He's my type, handsome and romantic. 1-800-STEPH-1.
Handsome?
Number toll free from anywhere.
Really?
I think so.
Really?
He's sexy. Oh, by the way, speaking
dead.
Of which, Rhode Flair Mary called back to talk to T-Bone.
You know what?
To tell us she does not smoke. It's the president who smokes.
Yes,
you know what?
And also, she wants us to know this Mary phone fact, that she and her lovely husband, Mr. Rhode Flair Mary, had their very first date. 32 years ago today.
Oh, well, that's adorable.
Say hello to her if you see her and her husband and her Scotty Fiduce skipping down the sidewalk in Chicago tonight. She said they're doing for Valentine's Day. She doesn't seem like a skipper to me,
no.
Really.
I can't picture her skipping down Addison. I really can't.
Yeah,
no.
Like, Okay. Oh, here's some gun facts.
Oh,
because
okay.
We had a, you remember that guy, Jim. The, hello, I have just stumbled across your show. I like to listen to both sides. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that you never had gun proponents on. Okay, except for every day.
Yeah.
All the time. Okay. This is from, somebody, Annie. Okay, from the CDC, i.e. not my ass. Roughly 30,000 gun-related deaths a year in the U.S. Of these, roughly 12,000 are homicide. Roughly 18,000 are suicide. More than half of all suicides committed by guns. Notice that 30,000, 12,000 to 18,000 equals not much left over for anything else. So gun-related deaths that are for self-defense or legal intervention, between 100 and 200.
Wow.
And that was the FBI statistic. I saw 161.
Right.
Deaths a year. Or, excuse me, preventable.
And that is between 100 and 200.
So these are, those are 100 to 200 gun deaths in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that
millions.
Killing the person was the only way to manage the situation, right. And that the shooter would have been killed if he, she had not killed the other guy first, worth the price of 30,000 innocent victims. Maybe it's just me. I think that trade-off is a bit out of balance. The supposed protective value of guns appears to exist only in the most trivial way, but the murder and suicide problem they create is massive. Surely we must agree something is wrong here.
And
I'm sure the gun enthusiasts absolutely agree now that you pointed that out to them.
Yeah, sure. And with stand-your-ground laws, you're allowed to shoot anyone just on a suspicion that might... You know,
those are
heads. Hey, he had Skittles and a tape, a can of tape.
He had it coming.
Right. And if you listen to what's her name, the gun nut that testified, Gail helicopter. I'm asking for helicopter.
Well, that
Thanks.
Doesn't say helicopter.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Look at the camera. Look, Helen. Does that not say helicopter? Okay. Calling too many audibles today.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I was saying, what was her name? The gun nut that Lawrence O'Donnell disemboweled later on television. Oh, Gail Trotter.
Oh.
She was the one that,
what you do.
She's the one that testified about her, about, you know, fictional situations that might happen.
Oh, right. But what if space aliens came down with ray guns?
Right, because apparently every night at her house is Zero Dark 30. Yeah. There's just, you know, Navy SEALs that she might need a lot of artillery. Because there's going to be multiple guys with assault weapons and children screaming in the background. And
Lawrence O'Donnell just went through a new
one.
I go back.
Fantasy!
I go back to the killer clown from Poltergeist.
Right.
What if there's a clown doll from Poltergeist underneath your bed? You're going to need to defend yourself.
Right.
You're going to need a taller bed.
I mean, seriously, is there a statistic on that? How many times you have a home invasion involving multiple people with military assault weapons? Really?
Does that happen on a weekly basis
in
your neighborhood? Maybe you should move.
Jim in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey.
Hello, Jim. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, great. Guys, I love your show.
Thank you.
I'll be real quick here. I think Congress needs to read the Constitution again, and when they read the Second Amendment, they need to have an elementary school English teacher there with them so that they understand that the right of the people to keep and bear arms is dependent on having a well-regulated militia.
Exactly.
Right.
And so my answer to this is, if you want to own a gun, that's fine, but you need to be a member of the National Guard Reserve.
Right. Yep.
And you need to be ready to be called up to deliver FEMA trailers to New Jersey or shovel snow in Boston.
Right.
Yeah.
You want a gun, you got to be in the military.
People don't understand 18th century sentence structure, because it was conditional. Sort of, given these circumstances, the right to bear arms should not be infringed. They, Second Amendment.
I am more than anything,
that first part. It's just sounds, random sounds.
I am more like the founding fathers than anyone in that I am very, very pro-musket. I am for everybody having a musket.
And a blunderbuss.
Because the other good thing is we've gotten much, much lazier since then. The amount of people that will actually take the time to load their musket.
We cannot have a trebuchet gap.
We have, instant gratification. So if you have to, by the time your grudge would wear off by the time you get that thing ready to go,
I gotta get you. Just wait.
You can't
stamp it down.
Where is that? Forget it.
And even then, you weren't likely to hit anything, because there's just a metal ball. There's no rifling. There's no aerodynamic quality to the thing.
Right. Yeah. Ricky in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rick.
Oh, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
You know what? First time caller on your show. I'm on the road with
heading up to Wisconsin from Chicago. But flipping through the channel, it's a very interesting topic that you got here, and wanted to let you know that I'm a self-proclaimed liberal, registered Democrat in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So proud to listen to you here, Stephanie.
Thank you.
All right. So my first question to you is what is, because I looked on your website real quick here. What is the definition of a liberal? To be truthful,
I think everybody's is different. I would go read the John F. Kennedy quote if you ever have time about what it means to be a liberal, and I'd say that sums it up pretty well.
All right, because that's exactly what I am, and I am a policeman in the city of Chicago, and I definitely, under that definition, I have looked at it before. I'm a liberal, without a doubt. We're for the people.
Let me guess, you're a liberal that believes in no gun control of any kind, right?
No gun control? I do believe that there should be gun control. Like, I actually think that there should be narcotics control, too, for cocaine and heroin. Do you?
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So you have 20 seconds for your point. Go ahead.
All right. Well, there is narcotics control. And look at what's going on in the city of Chicago. Do you think you can go to every street corner and get cocaine and heroin?
So you're making the argument bad guys will still get guns even if you have any kind of regulation. Well, I am yet another cop that is for no gun control of any kind. In fact, I am the president of Cops for Cop Killer Bullets.
Laws are a waste of time.
Hello. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Now, for that Valentine's Day gift. It's not too early for you to choose a bong.
What?
A bong.
So I'll be baked from a marijuana cigarette?
You lose your townie guy.
Jim's constantly he's constantly irritated by our PSAs, which are very dated.
Our PSAs are actually from 1995.
Baked. Marijuana
guy.
From marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Since then, several states have legalized marijuana.
Yes,
so everyone can
get medicinal
baked.
Marijuana on pretty much every corner.
Yeah,
it's entire cities full of
loser towny guy.
you can get your weed from
loser towny guy.
I would like to know where to purchase some weed so I can get baked.
How about a bong for Valentine's Day?
Page two. Hold on.
Stephanie Miller.
Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong.
That's really random. Okay. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Scalia, he had a thing with a guy, so he couldn't make the State of the Union.
Right.
He was doing something.
Is he still wearing that Venetian Doge hat from 16th century?
He said,
that was weird.
He said of the State of the Union, it's turned into a childish spectacle. I don't want to be there to lend dignity to it.
You're going to lend dignity?
Yeah, trust me, you wouldn't. You wouldn't have.
No,
you'd
lend more dignity by not being there.
Once again, just unprecedented. This is, okay. And, of course, his little sidekick, Clarence Thomas.
Whatever he said.
Yeah. Justice, whatever he said. Oh, by the way, I was saying, if you saw side-by-side Rubio's speech, the parts where he was talking and not drinking.
Yeah.
Literally, almost word for word, clips from Romney on the campaign trail, the exact same policies. Jay Carney pointed this out. He said, I'd say one thing, which is that while the messenger may have changed, the message we heard last night from the Republican speaker was entirely consistent with the policy ideas that Mitt Romney campaigned on last year, and the American people did not support.
Wow. Yeah, it was verbatim, virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, might as well just been reading off a teleprompter.
He's, according to Time Magazine, the savior of the Republic.
Not so much.
That was a disappointment.
At least there's still Bobby Jindal. A new poll in Louisiana showed just 37% of Louisiana voters approve the job Jindal's doing, compared with 57% who disapprove.
But I thought he was the savior a couple of years ago.
Well, if only he'd approved volcano monitoring.
He can improve that, because he's an American and he can do anything. Oh, God.
Joan Walsh said about Rubio. In the end, he looked like a child pretending to be an important politician, and his ideas weren't any more impressive than his amateur delivery. Why are Republicans acting like he's their savior anyway? Is it the fault of the media yearning to have anything positive or new to write about the party? It's tough, I guess, to be judged fair to the party and nonetheless write honestly about its utter dearth of new ideas and genuine new leadership. But if I were a Republican, I'd be furious at the lamestream media for anointing Rubio my future.
Yay. Thank you, Joan. Yeah. Of the entire Republican Party at this point, in the words of the immortal Chris Matthews.
Oh, God.
Or Joe Scarborough. Or the equally immortal Joe Scarborough.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Daily Kos with a good piece today. Is doing nothing an agenda or a strategy? I don't know. It seems to be their...
That's a very
John Boehner,
good point.
John Boehner, he has a new strategy, Jim. Not the ladder. Don't start with the ladders again. He got really tangled in a ladder analogy about the minimum wage. But anyway, his Senate first strategy, and that is he's going to do nothing. They spent 2 years, remember, talking about how Senate Democrats ignored all their crappy legislation that they sent there? Now it's let the Senate act first on nearly everything. That's his new strategy.
To do everything first, including getting out of the ladder.
The reason the House isn't taking the lead on immigration reform, violence against women, and gun control, pretty easy to understand. They aren't priorities for the House Republicans. Daily Kos writing, believe me, when the House Republicans come up with a piece of legislation they think is a political winner, they won't sit around and wait for the Senate to act. If there's something, you know, regarding kicking puppies or grandmothers or something that they can really get behind, then they'll be all over that.
Or destroying
pushing old ladies downstairs,
Medicare,
so they don't have to pay Medicare.
While lauding it when it helped their own families.
Right.
So, but, you know.
Right.
For those stinky little people who don't have ladders. They're scared.
Okay. Don is a right-wing love muffin in New Orleans. Hi, Don.
Hey, good evening. Or good afternoon to you, actually.
Or morning.
Hello. Okay.
I'm calling because I am I'm not a Republican, but I am a right-wing conservative.
And it's evening where you're calling from?
I work nights, so it's morning.
Sure.
But two things. First of all, one of the things y'all were talking about was when was somebody with an AK-47 going to break in your house as a police officer in New Orleans? I can tell you 3 months ago that is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason the guy was able to defend him and his family was because he had a firearm.
He had a drone.
No, he didn't have a drone.
Oh.
But the second thing was this, okay? The Second Amendment is not about protecting yourself. The Second Amendment is about protecting us, the citizens, from a tyrannical government.
Right.
And if
so,
you look at the Third Amendment...
So you're going to fight the government's drones when they come for you with your rifle?
Well, no, but if the more of us that have guns, the more of us that keeps the government in check.
Oh, I see. That'll make them think.
We don't have to fight the government.
They won't use their thermonuclear warhead against
you. You really think the government's going to take over? Really?
Really? No, I don't. But the thing that keeps them in check.
Oh, but they would if
they
you
would
didn't. If you didn't
have
your rifle.
Right.
Okay.
See,
all right. Good, Don. All right.
That's a fantasy.
Yeah,
that is a fantasy.
Back when we had no standing army, we needed a militia.
Right.
To quell, you know, counter revolutions of Tories who didn't like the way the Revolutionary War turned out.
Right.
Now we have the strongest military in the world by far, and you having a gun is not going to make a damn bit of difference if they decide.
Yeah. Well, that you don't know that. That's stopping them, Jim.
Right. And the more people that have rifles, the more people that can stop that thermonuclear warhead.
Because launching the drones with the Hellfire missiles are like, but if there's an AK...
missile hits my house and sets it on fire and emits giant
mushroom
cloud... That
guy's got a Bushmaster. I'm screwed.
Then all my ammunition stores are going to explode.
Right.
And
he'll probably... It'll be like that scene in Charlie's Angels. He'll make my Hellfire missile do a U-turn and hit me.
Right.
If I...
Did that really happen?
Yes, I just watched it. I had insomnia the other night, and it blows up the guy in the helicopter that tried to shoot the missile at Charlie. And, you know, gun nuts, can I just say, Jim, have an amazing, they have a sort of an astonishing amount of anecdotal stories about gun violence.
It's like they're Civil War reenactors. The Revolutionary War reenactors, really.
Right.
They're waiting for the tyrannical government to come up to their porch and try to take their guns away.
Right. That just happened the other night. Guy was... 14 guys with Bushmaster AK-40.
I understand.
But I had an Abrams tank.
Have a gun to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
To defend your home and your property. Sure.
Joe Biden said, get a shotgun.
Yes.
Right.
Even the sound of it.
How many times must I suggest this? Because I'm a helper, Jim. All you need is my box. You don't even need a shotgun.
Just the sound effect.
Okay, I'm good. Sorry, wrong house.
But you're too spazzy with your box, and you frequently press the wrong button.
Right, I would be like, get out. I've got a... No, that's not...
Oh, that's weird.
No, not... I've got a... Not Scooby-Doo. No, I have a...
I have a gub.
I have a cuckoo clock.
I have a...
I'm not afraid to use it.
I've got an orchestra.
Oh, look. I've got Shemp in here.
I've got a drum set.
Oh. I will poke you in both eyes if I...
Boink.
Oh, look.
Well, I ought to...
I've got a studio audience in here. Shoot.
They'll stop your bullets with their clapping.
I've got annoying singers.
I've got the waitresses.
They're my army. Get out.
Oh,
okay.
We're silly.
Oh, wow. Heavens. Okay, TC in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, TC.
Good morning. How are you there?
Good.
Hey, I discovered you guys about 6 months ago, and you are great.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. But I have, before I make my point, I have something. Is Rose Claire Mary, is she for real?
Yes.
Yes. Sadly,
yes.
Sure she's
yes.
a real person?
Yes. Yep. Yes, indeed.
Boy, I tell you, she is something else.
She's plucky.
Most of these guys that call you and say they are police officers.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how many police officers call me.
These guys are not police officers.
Of course
not. I swear, I don't believe there's any police officer in America that will be running around saying that he wish people had these big automatic weapons.
Right.
Yes, I certainly
wish. There's no police officer in the world that would say that.
I certainly wish.
What I wanted to say,
I am a cop, and I certainly wish more people had automatic weapons with and
with
bulletproof vests
bullets.
And big magazines and cop killer bullets.
Yeah.
Now what I
because
want to
I
say,
like a challenge.
The point I want to make to you is this: I don't believe these people that want to carry all these high powered weapons, these big magazines, and all this stuff. I believe that these people are cowards.
Yeah.
Any man that says that he has to have a AK-47, whatever they call those rest of those things. I'm a 23 year military man myself.
Yeah.
I got one gun. It doesn't even have a clip. But anyway, I just don't understand.
Well, how will you defend yourself against the nightly invasions of multiple people with automatic weapons?
Well, let me tell you, how do I defend myself?
Yes.
Lady, I say this. I know my house inside. Okay? You let any joker come to my house that's going to invade my house. Hey, I have something in here that I can get him because he doesn't know inside of my house. I do.
That's right. That's right. You got the element of surprise and a nose whistle. All
baseball
right.
Baseball bats and axes.
Oh, by the way, Rod on Twitter
yes.
Says about that cop that just called.
Uh-huh.
He said, by his logic, Bill Ayers was a patriot.
Right.
Because he was protecting himself against what he thought was a tyrannical government.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So
okay.
There you go.
All right. 45.
Okay. So the far right thinks that Bill Ayers is a patriot.
Yeah. Okay. 45. Okay. There you have it. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. All the single losers. So half the completely fabricated holiday designed to make single people feel bad about themselves. Oh, that guy with the nose whistle's calling back, so my day's not totally shot.
They told Peter to stay away from the wolf, but he didn't listen to them because he's his own man. And he knew that sometimes the things that seem the most dangerous turn out to be the most fun. Yes, sir, it was a good day for young Peter.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Hold on.
Okay.
Are you a pedophile?
Barbara in Massachusetts. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you that I had insomnia last night also, and I was watching a movie called Just Right.
That's my movie.
I'm telling you, you were funny as hell. You made me laugh out loud
all alone
in the middle of the night.
How did you enjoy my dominatrix scene?
You were very, very beautiful.
Thank you. I actually wore a dominatrix outfit in my one film.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago.
In my film.
Bone King?
No, that's a different thing. Okay. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. What an insomnia treat. Mama in a dominatrix outfit.
One day I may come across you in your role on Diagnosis Murder.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I played...
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Who was suspected of killing the Dr. Laura character for her time slot.
That worked out for you.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Yeah, Dr. Laura doesn't have to get up at ass crack o'clock.
Ass o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. right. I bet Rosalie Mary's a fan. I'm guessing she's a Dr.
I'm
Laura
sure.
fan.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to scream the N-word a lot, too. Okay. Hey. Just saying she's thinking. See, right. She liked to do it, Dr. Lord. Okay. It's an old story.
Yeah.
Okay. President Obama, by the way, the president in other He Can't Win news, he was hesitant to use executive actions for the first 3 years of his presidency, hoping Congress, of course, would, you know, act like Congress and actually take action on anything. But facing a broken Congress in which Republicans can and will obstruct the vast majority of meaningful legislation, he started using executive authority, which became Obama-Hitler. Obama-Hitler.
Right.
Yeah.
In
late 2011, is now considering it, stepping it up again to help struggling homeowners, strengthen environmental regulations and more. Congress won't help homeowners caught in the mortgage crisis, but Obama could allow homeowners who are underwater on privately backed mortgages to refinance those mortgages, as some homeowners have been able to do with their government-backed loans. Of course, they're climate change deniers in the Republican blah, blah, blah. Where am I here? So, but Obama can take action having the EPA regulate emissions from existing power plants. Blah, blah, blah. There's lots of stuff he could do. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act isn't going anywhere in Congress. Obama could at least extend protections to gay and lesbian employees of federal contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, this idea outrages Republicans. Why, it's outrageous and unprecedented.
No other president has ever used executive powers.
Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, said just because Congress doesn't act doesn't mean the president has a right to act.
What? Yes, it's exactly what that means.
We don't have to do anything.
Just sit there and collect your money and your free health insurance. Well, it's not free, but... You know,
Daily Coast points out, funny, after 8 years of George W. Bush, Republicans suddenly got concerned about the executive branch getting too much power when Barack Obama was elected. He had fewer executive orders in his first term than any president than Harry Truman. Just FYI. FYI.
GGK.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, but in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yes. Hugh Jackman's wife does not like it when you say her husband is gay.
Well, then.
Gawker writes, animated pile of muscle and sideburns, Hugh Jackman, is the subject of a Hollywood Reporter cover story. The piece most notably touches on the rumors of gayness are synonymous with his profile as Wolverine, the character from X-something. He admits the rumors...
Well, it was also his role as Peter Allen on Broadway. I think that may have something to do with it.
Jackman admits rumors about his sexuality have taken a greater toll than previous knowledge, especially on his wife. Just recently, it bugs her. So he's just warning you to...
Is everybody gay?
Not in Australia. The rule there is no poofers.
He warns you to... So he hates you.
And
yes.
I just hate
you. All right, thank you.
And I hate your ass face.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, guess sexy liberal Alec Baldwin, who is still a sexy liberal despite the fact that he stiffed us in D.C. and New York.
Yeah.
I still love him with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns. He
so
was
I.
sick in New York, and then he got stuck in traffic in D.C., whatever. We want to congratulate him. He's confirmed he and his wife are pregnant.
Woo-hoo!
She secretly took a pregnancy test with her and screamed, and at first he thought she'd found another spider on the wall. And realized that, no, she was with child.
Oh, well, not with spider. No.
He sent me a bouquet of roses the size of, it was enormous. You saw it.
Yes.
It was enormous.
Yes, it was.
He is handsome and romantic.
And rich, because that was a very expensive bouquet.
And also, I think he might have known he wasn't going to show up. Here is a lovely bouquet of flowers.
Nobody sends a bouquet of flowers if you're going to show up.
Traffic is bad during the inauguration.
Yeah.
I will try.
Yeah.
Steve Martin, first-time father at age 67.
Holy cow.
Wow, there is a hope for me. Who knows? I might be able to cough.
You
some.
Are not.
His wife is 41.
You are not going to cough up a child. you just aren't.
It'll be like my Dodge Dart trying to start in the winter in Buffalo.
No. You are never, ever going to be with child. Ever.
It could happen.
It could not happen.
Yes, it could.
No, it could happen.
Hey, speaking of Peter Allen, Liza Minnelli's husband.
Husband? Well, are there quotation marks around?
She has revealed that hip surgery has left her 2 inches shorter.
Oh. Mm. All right.
She was
I guess that'll happen.
5'5". Now she's 5'3".
Oh.
A little teeny tiny thing now.
All right. You know what, though? She
still my favorite part of the Michael Jackson coverage.
Yeah.
Ever on Larry King. Remember?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Do it. Come on, do it. Do it.
Oh, Larry. Oh, honey. Honey, it's awful. Oh, honey.
Liza, let Quincy Jones talk. Liza, calm down.
Oh, Larry, honey. It was never true, the allegations. It was. Oh.
And you were there, and you were there.
Oh, no, that was your mom.
No, that was different. Oh, boy. Did you see this story? The Washington Post corrected the story that Sarah Palin was joining Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's not.
I knew that was an oniony kind of headline. Oh, Washington Post. You are dopey. Speaking of pranks,
what?
Montana TV station's emergency alert system hacked and warns of zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yep. We're commonly informed that dead bodies are rising from their graves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
That'd be a zombocalypse.
Zombocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift says she never chases boys. They don't like it. She said, She said, people love that angle on me. They're like, oh, Taylor, coming on too strong again, chasing boys. I never chase boys. Except that she bought the house next door to the Kennedy compound.
Yeah.
She was dating the Kennedy.
That's not stalkery at all.
Creepy. Hi, what are you doing? I bought the house next door. What you thinking? Why so distant? I'm not distant. I'm next door.
I'm right here. What are you doing?
We are never, ever, ever getting back together, ever.
Ever. Again. Ever. Ever. We are never, ever. Okay, let's get another song out of it.
Exactly.
And then, okay.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Touching.
Hey, here's what you do for Valentine's Day. Here's how you say, I love you to your beloved and a mama. Buy tickets to Chicago Sexy Liberal, April 13. Tickets going very fast. The big party in Chicago. We will see you tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day.
See you
tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.